Dear precious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your safety, for your protection. Lord, how you've watched over many of us, Lord. Father, I pray now that you would direct my words, that you would direct Lizzie's words, that we would be attentive, you have to say to each and every one of us. May your will be done now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. So, basically, I got back from Africa, like, a few weeks ago, couple weeks ago, and so the Lord did a lot of things, not in my, like, in my life, and not just only in my life, but in other people's lives that were there, and then, like, people that I'm going back to college with, too. So I wrote some notes so that I don't miss anything that I was like, you know, maybe I should talk about this, maybe I should talk about this, maybe I should say this. But so we went to two places, two countries in Africa. We went to Mozambique, and there were two places in Mozambique that we went. We went to Maputo, which is a city in Mozambique, the largest city in Mozambique, within that 5-mile radius. Is millions and millions of people, and it's the majority of the Mozambique population. And we also went to Shishai, which is like a smaller city, not too small, but just about 3 hours from Maputo. And it's supposed to take 3 hours to get to Shishai, but it took 6 hours because we were riding in this van, and it was like packed people in, you know, and we were stopped multiple times by the police and pulled over on the side of the road for them to check our passports. So that was a little scary. But basically, when the team that I was with, we went and did campus ministry. And so we went to campuses in Maputo, and we went to campuses in Shishai. And there was a campus in Shishai that we went to, and I think it was the only one there. But we weren't actually allowed to be on the campus, so we had to be off the campus. And then we drove to a bus stop to talk to people. And so one thing about Mozambique is they speak Portuguese. I don't know a lot of Portuguese. And I know a little bit of Spanish because my stepmom's from El Salvador and I took a couple years of Spanish. And so I know a little bit and I could get away with a little bit. But we had to trust, like, in our translators and like trust in the Lord that he would be able to translate what we were trying to say. And we had a lot of translators, and sometimes you had a translator and sometimes you didn't, because everybody's trying to talk to everybody and like tell them like about the word, but not just about the word, but just building a relationship with them and showing them like community. And so one thing we did while we were in Shishai is we actually invited people to this, like, little game day and just hung out with them and got to know them better. And so one of the girls that was on the team that I was on, her name's Catherine, me and her were talking to these two girls. I don't remember one of the other girls' names. It's written in my journal that I kept, but I don't remember her name. But there was another girl, and her name was Mayate. And so basically, we talked to her, and we got her to come to this event that we were having. And she was, like, super, super sweet. She's about 16, and they call it, like, an institution. So it's where they – it's like their high school, but they call it an institution. And so she's around high school age, and she's – she comes to this night, and me and Catherine get a chance to talk to her more. And sorry if I cry, but I have a really good connection with this girl now, and I actually have her number still because I was able to get her number, wrote it down so that I'd have it. But one thing that I was able to talk to her about was I was able to share my testimony with her, and it was kind of like, I cry a lot when I share my testimony just because it's just an emotional thing. But basically, I was able to share my testimony with her, and it really, like, reached her heart, even through a language barrier. And it's just so amazing, and it's just, it reminds me all the time, like, when I think about it, like, the Lord conquered a language barrier to reach somebody that may not have been able to know her, know God. And it was just, it was so amazing to experience that. And she's still kind of where, like, she doesn't know. And a little bit of background about Maya Tay is her dad is a Christian, but her mom's Muslim. And so she actually goes to the mosque with her mom, and most people that are around her know that she's Muslim. But I think the fact that God was able to show his love to her through me and through other people that were there is the reason why she wants to continue to be involved in the ministry that we were working with there. And it's just, it's so amazing. Like, these are happy tears, I promise. But that was, like, one, like, really big thing. And, like, the Lord was telling me something through that, too, that no matter where you are, your testimony matters. And telling people your testimony is really important, because even if, like, you grew up your whole life in church, you never went down a path of, like, drugs or anything like that, your testimony still has value. And there's so many, like, experiences that the people that I was with had that they told their testimonies, something like, they had a feeling like, oh, my testimony doesn't, it's not really anything big or anything, but it spoke to somebody. It spoke to somebody that they may not have been able to speak to if they didn't listen to the Lord and tell them their testimony. And so I think one big thing that everybody that I was with learned, including me, was to, like, listen to the Holy Spirit and, like, listen to what he was saying. And so we did a lot of that also in Maputo with More Campus Ministry, and we did this thing called Prayer in Action, and inviting people to a worship night and all that. And we did Prayer in Action, and I got a name and from the Lord when we sat down and we prayed, and I got the name James. James is not a common name in Mozambique or in Maputo or in Portuguese or anything like that. And so I was thinking, okay, Lord, do you mean go read the book of James or read a chapter in James? And but we wrote it down, and we started walking around campus and talking to people that, like, we saw, or, like, we saw, like, a shirt or, like, a color or something like that. And we actually got back to bring people to invite them to, like, a little group session, and it's, like, reading the word together and talking to each other, getting to know each other type of thing that they just have on campus. And they do a lot of that on campus and not off of campus, because there's a lot more people that can't actually make it to those because they ride shoppas, which is what those vans are called that they smush a whole bunch of people into. And so basically they do a lot of that stuff on campus during the day. And there, I went with another group to continue praying for people because we didn't have a lot of people that came to this group. And then we get back, fast forward to our team time later that night. There's this guy, Seth, and he's telling this testimony from that day. And so during Prayer in Action, like, he wrote down all the things that none of us had a book. And, like, so there's four of us, and he was one of the guys that wrote it down. And he said he was sitting over there, and some guy walks by, and he's like, what's your name? And or, like, he's like, hey, like, how are you? Like, what's your name? And then he says, my name's James. And he tells me that, and I'm like, wow, that's, like, so amazing. Like, the Lord didn't, like, not even, like, he spoke through me the name, but he gave it to somebody else so that he could talk to them. And I think, like, that shows, like, the Lord works in so many different ways. But to add on to that, my friend Cameron, who is also on our team, we had a lot of people, like 15 people, but was also on our team, she got this vision of a specific red jacket with, like, stripes down it. And she was actually sitting next to Seth. And Seth, after he heard his name's James, he was like, what? James? Your name's James? And then Cameron turns around to look and sees the guy, and he's wearing the jacket that she saw. And so it's like all of that connecting, like the Lord wanted him to be there to like hear something that, like, either that he loves him, I don't know, but he wanted them to be there. And so we did a lot of prayer and action. We went through a market and did prayer and action. And one thing about the markets is, like, they're, like, really, really packed. Like, what you would think when you think Africa, that's what a market looks like. And there's a big difference between what you would see in Mozambique and what you would see in South Africa. Because South Africa and Cape Town and Rivaul is more like a first world country, kind of like the United States. And Mozambique is more of like a developing country. And so like the houses, multiple people living in like apartments and stuff. I will say one thing that was different is I have never had to wash clothes with my hands in two buckets, and I had to do that for the first time. And it actually wasn't that bad. Except for when the wind blew and you didn't have enough clips and your clothes fell off the line. But it was really windy in Maputo. It actually was probably like spring or summer there, which is completely different from Cape Town, because Cape Town was cold, like 50s, 60s. But it was also near the water. We went to the beach a few times, which was nice. And so I have a lot of pictures. And I meant to make this newsletter, and I'm still, like, I've written a lot of it out, but I'm waiting on pictures because I took, disposable cameras with me, and so I have to get the film developed. And so it's not developed yet. It'll be about a month. But once I get that done, I'm going to give some to Pete or my Nana and, like, have them put it at the back. But so one, like, big thing about like South Africa is we got to work with this group, and it's called YWAM, and it stands for Youth with a Mission. And they do a lot of like, they do this program called a DTS, and so it's like discipleship training program for kids like just out of high school all the way across the world. And so I met a few people from Germany. I met some people from I think Britain, maybe. So all over, you know. I think there was one girl, she was from Brazil. And so we worked with them, did some community service with them, and they're connected with a group called the Changemakers. I'm trying to talk fast so I don't take a lot of time, but the Changemakers are these group of guys that live in this community of Worcester, and it's in Rudeville, and it's more of like kind of like what you would see in Maputo, so more of like a developing country in that area. And basically these guys have been in gangs, been in, like, deeply involved in drugs and deeply involved in alcohol, and like their lives are just have gotten to an all-time low, and they go to this restoration program, and they are taught about the Lord. And it's amazing to see, like, these men being there for only 2 months and how in love with the Lord they are. And it was so good to work with them, because also seeing them, like, work with children in that area too. And it's kind of sad to, like, see the conditions that the children live in those areas, where stuff like gangs and drugs and alcohol is just so abundant, and it's like it's legal. We would walk around the street to go gather kids for this youth event that we were putting on, and you would just see some like people standing over there with like a bong, you know, the thing with like that you put that stuff in and whatnot. And it was just sitting over there, and it's around these kids, and it's so sad to see them in these conditions where that's what they're exposed to basically the second that they're born. And so it's really good what the Changemakers are doing and what YWAM is doing there. And back on the So this is like a testimony from Worcester in South Africa. And there was a guy that was a part of the Changemakers. His name was Jonathan. And we didn't figure that out until we were there about a few days and whatnot. And back in Maputo, Cameron got a name when she was doing prayer in action. And she said she got the name Jonathan. And she was like, okay, like, Lord, what do you want me to tell him when I see him? Like, what do you want me to tell this person when I see him? And he said, I want you to tell him that I love him. And I wasn't even, like, there for that. Like, I saw her talking to him, but it's just, it's still so amazing, like, how the Lord works. But she got the chance to talk to him. And this was, like, a week after we had already been out of Maputo. And so she's had this name, and she's just kept this name. And basically, that Thursday, which we had been in, which she was able to figure out, that Thursday we had been in Worcester already. We were there. Jonathan had prayed with some of the guys and gotten them together and asked for the Lord to show him a sign that he loved him. And so it's like she got that name and to tell him that the Lord loves him before we even met Jonathan. And like before he even prayed for that. And it's just, it's so amazing to just see, like, how the Lord works. And that's one, like, one thing that I'll, like, continue to say. Like, I've seen the Lord work in so many ways when we were in Maputo and in South Africa. And, like, even more on that, like, when we were in Cape Town, like, the Lord was working through so many people. And, like, we were continuing to do prayer and action and continuing to do the things that we had done in the other places, even though we weren't asked to do it. We continued to do it and continued to pray for people and just walk up to people and be like, hey, how are you doing? And so basically, South Africa is definitely different, especially in Cape Town. There was a lot more distractions, kind of like there is in the United States. Like, yeah, we didn't have our phones, obviously, but there's, like, so many places to shop, so many places to eat, and all that. But we worked with a church called Life Church, and there's actually Life Churches in the United States. But they have a Life Church, and they do this program called Life Child. And so it was definitely different for me going into that, going from working with, even going into South Africa, working with children, after working with people my own age, and then, like, so having to flip the script and, like, go to working with children. And you kind of had to speak to these children with, like, your eyes or, like, your body language because they didn't know English. They only knew their native language. And so that was, like, a little bit rough. But so there was this little girl that I got pretty decently close with without even really being able to talk to her. And her name was Lyndall Kosa. And she was just, like, so sweet. I think she was about 8. But we worked with this Life Child group only 2 days out of the whole time we were there, because we did stuff, like, with the church, too. And so out of the 2 days that we were there, the first day, it was close to the end, they did this little scavenger hunt. They put suckers all in their auditorium. And, like, there's only 24 kids, and there's, like, 50, 40-something of us. And so they're like, just help the kids find the suckers, you know. And so, but there was this one girl, like, I was helping her find the suckers, and I think she got, like, pretty attached to me, you know, at the end. She was like, you know. And then there, fast forward a couple days later, we did this little event with them, and, like, they just played games during the day, and there was more of them. So every single one of us was actually, we were broken into groups, and then whatever kids they gave us, we were supposed to, like, watch a kid, and, like, help them and play with them and stuff. And basically I saw her and I was like, Lord, please put her in my group. And she was, and they put a little like ribbon on our wrist so that they would know what group we were in, because they did like rotating things. And basically, she was like in our group, and I saw her, but I like kid you not, the second she saw me, she ran over to me and grabbed my hand, and it was so sweet. And so it's like, and she was just like attached to me unless she saw something that she wanted to do, and then she'd just take off and run when they were doing their little like just kind of playing on some, like, I don't know what they call, play sets? Yeah, on some play sets. And so it was really sweet to see that. And so it was so good to be able to experience all of it. And from the kids to the people my own age, and just the experience that I had was just so amazing. And one thing that we actually talked about a lot and talked about closer to the end was actually, okay, what are we going to bring back with us? And it's like, yeah, I mean, you go somewhere, you bring back souvenirs and stuff like that, but that's not what they meant. They meant, like, from this experience, don't just bring it back as an experience. Bring it back and live it all in your life. And so we actually talked about, like, how are we going to live our life missionally? And, like, you can go just your regular day-to-day basis and just start out your day and be like, Lord, give me, like, can you give me a name, or, like, give me something, or give me a word that you want me to tell somebody? And maybe it's just, like, you don't get anything. Maybe it's just an act of kindness that changes somebody's day. And that, sorry, that is living your life missionally, is doing the things that you know is right, and doing the things that the Lord asks you to do. And so with that, that's one thing that I'm wanting to bring back, like, on the campus, but even just in my day-to-day life, like, walking through a grocery store and just going up to some random person. They might think you're weird, but, you know, it is what it is here. But one thing, too, is I noticed how intentional they are in Mozambique and in South Africa. Like, you could go up to somebody and you could be like, hey, how are you doing? And if they actually have to be somewhere, they'll tell you. If they don't, they'll sit there and they'll talk to you, and they'll look at you, and they'll, like, just, like, want to have a conversation with you. And you'll see people walking around with, like, their like, hands, like, holding behind the back. And it's just because they're just really, like, intimate with each other when they're having conversations. They actually do this handshake thing, and sometimes when they're doing the handshake, they'll just sit there and just do it over and over again while they're talking to you, or they'll just hold your hand while they're talking to you. And we had one guy that was sitting in a conversation with somebody, and the guy turned to talk to somebody else like this, and then talked to somebody else over here, but he was still holding his hand because he's like, I'm not done talking to you. And so it's just, like, bringing back that intentionality in, like, conversations, and then bringing back just living life missionally, and praying for people, praying, like, what, like, Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? Or, like, do you want me to talk to this person? You want me to talk to this person? And bringing it not only back as an experience, but, like, as a lifestyle. And so that, and another thing that I learned, and I said it earlier, but just not being afraid to, like, share your testimony, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter where you come from, always sharing your testimony if the Lord asks you to. And so those are three things that were very prominent in, like, what we were doing. And I think, like, one thing is, like, I definitely grew closer with the people that I was around, and that I'm going back to college with. And then I came back with a lot of friendships from people in Africa that I can only text over WhatsApp or something. And I'm glad I have Google Translate here to talk in Portuguese. So, but it's just, like, there's so many amazing things, and there's more, and there'll be more in that newsletter that I write and put in the back of the church. But and it'll be more pictures and all that. But I, most importantly, I want to thank every single one of you for your prayers and for, like, the support, because I was so happy to experience this, and it wouldn't have been possible without every single one of you, and for, like, your support in that. But also, like, I mean, there were other people that supported me, but, like, this church supported me so much in, like, prayer and just in like, money and stuff. And I think, like, out of all of it, like, there was so much support coming from y'all. And I truly believe that, I mean, yeah, I grew up in this church. My Nana's been to this church her entire life. But I truly believe that y'all are family. And I love every single one of y'all. And I just want to thank y'all so much. Sorry, happy tears, I promise. But, yeah, thank you for letting me speak about my experience. And I can't wait to show y'all pictures once they're developed. But that's going to be about a month, so just stay tuned for that. But thanks again, and I appreciate all of you.
Lizzie told me, she said, oh, I only talk about 10 minutes. Knowing Lizzie, I knew she talked more than 10 minutes. And hard to fit a whole month worth of ministry in 10 minutes on. But, y'all, I don't have a sermon, really today. It's funny, she's talking about testimony. I didn't know what she was going to talk about, but, last week at our fellowship, since I've been coming to this church, and I started coming here in 97, I don't remember a fellowship bigger than what we had last Sunday. Maybe there's been one when Randy was a pastor, but for sure since I've been the pastor, we've not had that big a fellowship. And I was sitting there, and the Lord kind of spoke something to me looking at everybody. And I'll get to that in just a second. I'll try to talk really fast, but I was thinking, you know, many of y'all are new. Susie, I think, has been here longer than anybody now. And so, and then it would probably be Amanda. Amanda's car broke down today. She was on her way to church, and that's why she's not here. And then it would probably be Amanda, and then probably Mitzi. And then maybe me. I don't know. So anyway, but a lot of y'all's pretty new to our church. And especially over the last couple of years, we've had a lot of new folks and everything. And a lot of y'all don't know the testimony of this church either. And I can't go back to the testimony from years ago when Susie and Mitzi was here. But all I can tell you is the testimony of what God has done. And some of y'all's family had a big part in that. Mike and Tatum, both of their grandparents had a huge part in this church. Tatum's grandpa was an elder here when I became the pastor, and I can't talk too much about him or I'll get choked up. I loved him very much. Mike's grandpa only came to church here for maybe a year, and the Lord laid upon his heart. Many of y'all don't know, when I first took over as pastor here, we were about $160,000 in debt. We couldn't afford to pay a pastor. We couldn't afford to hardly keep the lights on. The church was pretty much empty. God put me here. I was only supposed to be here for a short time till y'all could find somebody else. And I don't know if you're still looking, but it's going on 16 years now. But if you're still looking, it's okay. I understand. But Mike's grandpa came to church here and heard about the debt, and the Lord laid on his heart over a few months' time period. I give God all the glory, but God uses us in that. And Mike's grandpa wrote a check, I think it was for $125,000, and paid off the church like that. And so we were out of debt. And there's been so many blessings come out of that. I got to even share at his funeral a year or so ago about what we've been able to do since that happened, and stories like Lizzie's, stories like the missionaries that's going to be here next week, people in our community that's had problems, that's had broke down vehicles. We are a funnel for God's ministry, and that's what we've always wanted to be. But if you look at our website, it says our church's vision is to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ. And we get that from John 17, 20 through 23, and it says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me, may there be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What's that saying there? That we are to be one in Jesus Christ. That's the mission of this church, is for all of us to become with Jesus, one in Jesus Christ. Unity. I believe that that's not talking about just unity within the church. Over the years since I've been the pastor here, we've had a few leave because they were mad. We've had more have left because of other ministry opportunities, or just because they've quit coming. Not that they were mad or upset, but there needs to be unity in the body. There needs to be unity not only in this church, but with the churches surrounding us. This church has supported churches around us. I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, if it's within driving distance of my church, I will not allow my church to go to any events. He doesn't participate in any events unless their church is sponsoring it. I'm like, why? He said, because I don't want to lose anybody. Well, y'all, this church supports churches even a few miles down the road. We've supported them mightily, but it's because the unity of God's body is not confined to this building, I believe. It's the area churches, it's the assembly, it's the Baptist church, it's the Church of Christ. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? And so that's what this church stands for, that's what this church is about. Some of y'all, I just felt like I should share this today because we've got so many new people. And then the Lord gave me this verse way back in the beginning, and John the Baptist is baptizing people. Oh, man, Lizzie, I'm going to be going over. John the Baptist was baptizing people, okay? And his disciples, his followers, started noticing they were losing more and more people to Jesus. And his disciples were like, John, what do we do? What do we do? Like, they're all following Jesus. They're leaving us. His congregation basically was getting smaller. And John the Baptist's response was in John 3:30. And he said, he must become greater and I must become less. We've had shirts made up with that verse on it. And the way that I look at that verse, and the way that I believe that many of us in this church look at that verse, is that Jesus Christ needs to become greater every day in our life. And our selfish desires, our selfish flesh, needs to become less and less. He must become greater and I must become less. It shouldn't be all about me, myself, and I. It needs to be about Jesus. And so that's a verse that we've really hung on to. And you back up just a few verses in this. In verse 27, then it says, to this John replied, a man can only receive what is given him from heaven. I love that verse because this church has been kind of ups and downs. Some years we've had a lot of people, some years we've had very few. And sometimes as a pastor, it can get frustrating. Where is everybody? You know? But if I look at this verse and I say, a man can only receive what is given to him from heaven, then that means if I really trust that God's in control, that when our congregation is big, it's God. It's not me. It's not programs. It's not manipulating people. It's not pressuring people. It's God placing each and every one of you here. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you here. We've got Daryl and his family here. I don't know for how long. Daryl's been with us for a few months. I was thinking about Kevin and Deidre, they texted me this morning that they couldn't make it today, but they've become part of our family. I think they're probably our newest members. Shelley and Lacey, they hadn't been here in a while, but Lacey grew up in this church, and I'm so thankful God's brought them back. John and his family, sometimes they're in Arizona, sometimes they're here. I'm praying they stay, but you know, I mean, they do what they gotta do, you know, but I'm thankful for what God's doing in this church. But I look at the increase, it's all God. It's all God. And each one of you are not here by accident. I believe that with all my heart. Whether it's for a short time, as Mike's grandfather was here, but he blessed us so much, or whether it's like Susie, that you're going to be here for your entire life, you know, and you're going to be here from now on. God has placed you here for a purpose. And another mission that we have in our mission statement is James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Church, we have to. If we want to grow, when I say grow, I don't mean numbers necessarily. Yes, I'm thankful, but I mean even growing spiritually. It's when you act in obedience, when you do what God tells you to do, even when it doesn't make sense, you do it. A name, that doesn't make sense. I've told y'all, I can't even remember the dream. It was probably 5 years ago, a guy at work, I just happened to tell him a dream I had about him. I didn't even know. It was like one of them crazy dreams that doesn't even make sense. And I just told him, and when I told him, his face just went blank, and he walked away, and he didn't say nothing. I was like, it was like a goofy dream about washing his feet. I don't even remember. It was like, it didn't even make sense. You know, almost 2 years later, that man came up to me and he said, "Do you remember that dream you told me about?" And I was like, "I honestly really didn't." And he said, "You know, that dream didn't mean anything to you, but that was God speaking directly to me about something." I didn't know it for 2 years. Yeah, I was just telling a goofy dream. I didn't feel like it was spirit-led. I didn't feel like the Lord said, "Go tell him this dream." I just told him, you know, but God used it. God used it, and it's just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And y'all, I'm just going to quit here. But the main thing that I wanted to say is last week when we're sitting there and I'm looking around, we had to get three more tables and chairs for each of the tables to fit everybody last week. And I was just looking at all of you and I was just thanking God. I was thanking God because whether you're here a few months or for a long time, if you have to move in a few months, if that's where God takes you, you're always going to be part of our family. If you get mad at me and leave, I'm still going to pray for you. Those guys that got mad at me and left over the years, y'all, they almost are at my top of my list for my prayers, you know? And the ones that's left for ministry and left for other reasons, I'm still praying for them. You're part of us now. You're part of our family. And as I was looking around and looking at everybody, I looked at Tim and I said, this verse just came to my mind. And it's Psalms 127:1, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain." And I was looking at all of you, and I don't think any of you have come here by manipulation. Any of you have come here by schemes, by good advertisement, because we don't have billboards and all that. But I do believe that God has brought each one of you here for a purpose. And you may not even know why you're here yet. You may not. But God has brought you here for a purpose. But may we never get focused on building something in the flesh. May we never get focused on just numbers and lose sight of people and the people that we love and the people that we care about. And may it always be the Lord building our house and building this church house into what He wants it to be. Not what Pete wants it to be. Not the vision that I have, but the vision that the Lord may give me and give to each one of us. Because if the Lord's building this congregation, if the Lord's building this house, we're going to stand firm. But you go back to what I read in John, it begins in unity. It begins with us seeking the Lord. It begins with us following God's will. It begins with us having a heart for God and His Word. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it's God who made it grow. It's God who made it grow. See, God's going to give each one of us a different opportunity, a different mission, a different thing here at this church. It might be praying, it might be serving, it might be working. I thank God so much for Samantha. I can't even begin to tell you how much I thank God for what He's doing through her in our children's ministry. Y'all, I'd been praying for someone to take over the children. I didn't ask Samantha. I've asked people in the past to do stuff, and you know what usually happens? They'll do it because I ask them, but then their heart's really not in it, and it falls apart. But Samantha, God laid on her heart to do it, and now she's done a tremendous job because God's laid it upon her heart. Y'all, we have some other needs at this church. I've not asked anybody. I've just been praying about it. But I believe that God wants some of us to step up and to maybe where He's calling you, this is your opportunity. This is your invitation to come and talk to me. But it's got to be the Lord. I'm not begging. I'm not prying. I'm not manipulating. And if God doesn't place it on anybody's heart, then He's got another plan. He's got something else. But it's God that's going to make this church grow. It's God that's going to make changes around here. It's God that's going to see us through all the good times and the difficult times. Because you know what? As a church, you're going to face difficulties. Why? Because Satan is a roaring lion looking who he can devour. And I've seen it happen time and time again. I've seen it happen in this church before I was a pastor. We grow, someone get mad, church split. We grow, someone get mad, church split. I don't want that to happen. You know how that's not going to happen? Is when we're in unity in God's Word, when we're seeking God's Word, when our foundation is upon the biblical principles that's in this Bible. And so that's really all I wanted to say today and give y'all, some of you that's kind of new and you may not know. At the end of the hall there's a plaque that we put up with the goals that God had given us when we were fasting and praying when I first started preaching. Every one of them, except for one, has been checked off. And God, it's God. It's God that's done it all. And so He's an amazing God. And I'm thankful for all that He's doing here. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And I want you to know how much I love you. And I also want to ask you that if you see a new face, if you've been here more than a year, You're an old person like me, okay? And you have a responsibility in a way to go up and introduce yourself, to talk to someone. Not everybody is easy to talk to. Not everybody are you going to have things in common with. Not everybody are you going to say, let's go fishing together with. But you can be a friend, you can be a brother, you can be a sister in Christ, and you can pray for them. And so I encourage you to, as we grow, because I don't think we're done. I think we're going to keep growing in numbers, but more importantly, we're going to keep growing spiritually. I don't believe God's finished with us yet, but as we grow, we have a responsibility to, as the new people come in, be friendly, be kind, go up and talk to them. Next Sunday is going to be a good opportunity. There's somebody here that you've never talked to before. Just go up and shake your hand and introduce yourself. Susie, did you ever meet Kelly Jo? Okay. There was a text message and Susie didn't know who Kelly Jo was. And so, let's stand. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what You're doing in this church. I thank You for what You did with Lizzie on this mission trip. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would truly live each day as being Your ambassadors, looking at every opportunity to show Your love. Your Word says that because of what Jesus Christ did, we can become the righteousness now. And Father, that people might see Your righteousness in our lives, that at work, at home, Lord, even here at the church, that we might display You, that You would increase in our life each and every day, and that flesh, that human nature would become less and less. Father, I thank You for the growth that we're seeing. I thank You for all You're doing. And I pray, Lord, that You would just place a hedge of protection around this body of believers. Lord, as Satan will come and try to cause harm, try to cause hurt, Lord, that You would just watch over each and every one of us. And that we might be more united. Lord, first of all, more united with You in our relationship. And then more united as a body of believers, Father, that we might truly be in one accord. May Your will be done. May You receive all the glory for the increase, because we know it's all You, Father. And may we see Your kingdom come here, Lord, that Your will would ultimately be done with this church. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If any of you need prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you.
You bring restoration in my soul.
I'm thankful that Lizzie got to go to Africa and do that. It's an amazing thing. But you know what? Most of us are never going to get to go to Africa, are we? But Hayden was sharing me a testimony last night of a guy that he's talked to, and God's changing his life. He's been working on him for the last month, and it's a dramatic change of just someone that he was visiting with. I look at little John back here and what God's doing in his life. Little John's been coming for the last month or so, and God's really doing a work in his life. You know, can happen every day if we follow Him and His Holy Spirit. I won't keep y'all much longer, but COVID was kind of a reset. We used to have all these services, Sunday schools and everything else when COVID happened, and it was kind of a reset. The Lord's kind of been laying on my heart to make some changes. I'm going to talk with the leadership. Do you guys even know who your elders are? We've got two elders. It's Tim in the back. If you guys don't know Tim, and it's Kyle. They've been elders for a long time. We were going to be talking when I get back from vacation, though. Peter has been participating and helping serve here. When you look at all the requirements of leadership, I believe Peter is going to be a perfect candidate to also become an elder here. We prayed and talked about it, but we'll be talking about that in the coming months. We're going to have some Sunday night services again. I want to go through some marriage talks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks of marriage. I'd like some of our older folks that's been married a long time to maybe share and give. I'd also like to do some parenting classes. I asked Peter a couple weeks ago in the men's Bible study about just the way he's a dad, and he was sharing with me, and I'd like some of that to be shared within church. And so this fall we'll be starting up some of that too. And so I just think it's going to be good for the church. And so I love you guys. Sorry we kept you over. Have a great day, okay?